It's good to see everybody this morning. Everybody, all the kids, give me a wave. Can y'all wave at me? There you are. Let me see. Where are you? There's some. All right. Good to see everybody this morning. And I was thinking just again as I got up this morning, I was thinking, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we need to rejoice. Even in the hard times, we need to rejoice. And so I'm just trying to rejoice today. And so as I was thinking about that, as y'all know, we've sent some people into space. I think they went off yesterday. That's exciting. I'm not sure I want to go to space. So I got to thinking about space. And did you know that when you're in space, if you are standing or next to somebody in space, you cannot hear them talk? Do you know why? Is there a picture up? Yeah, just put my picture up. You can't hear the person next to you in space. Is it coming on? So I brought a space picture. Well, maybe. Okay, so that's not. Well, it's not. Oh, there he is. See, they're in this big space suit. And it's not because of the space suit that you can't hear them talk. It's because our voices travel on sound waves in the atmosphere. And when you're in space, guess what? The atmosphere is very different, so they have to talk a different way. So you know what they use? They use radio waves to talk in space. So when you're in space, you cannot hear anything. Isn't that amazing? It's probably so quiet. Oh, my God. I don't know how good that would be, but so, because atmosphere is different here on Earth than it is in space. So, you know, so we have radio waves and we have sound waves. So is it important that we hear what someone is telling us? Yes, because we need to listen to our parents. Do we need to listen to teachers? Do we need to listen to our friends? Do we need to listen to Pastor Jeff? Maybe. All right. So we need to hear people talking to us. So if we were in space, we would just have to use a different way to talk. But here on Earth, we use sound waves. So we need to hear our friends talking to us. So, but do you know there is someone that doesn't need sound waves or radio waves to hear you talk? Do you know who that is? What? God, that's right. God hears us no matter what. When we pray, he hears us. He's ready to listen. Do we always take time to pray? No, we don't. Sometimes we just get busy and we don't think about God. Do you think about God all day long? No, sometimes we just get busy and we don't think. So there's school, there's TV, there's games, there's sports, there's computers, there's just so many things, zillions of things to do that distract us that we just maybe forget to pray. But is God still there waiting for us to pray? He wants to hear from us. That's right. So, you know, doing all those fun things is exciting, but God is calling us to do one thing. He's asking us to be still and pray. And now that's hard. I will tell you, it's very hard for me to be still. So, you know, when we pray, we talk to God. Praying is praising him, thanking him for all the many things that he's done and all the things that he's given us. And you tell him what's going on in your world. Do you ever tell him that you're mad or you're angry or you're sad or you're happy or you're just joyful or you're excited? He wants to hear you telling those things. He's waiting. He's listening. He's not waiting for some sound wave or radio wave to talk to you. He's right there listening, waiting for you to talk to him. He wants to hear your voice. So this week, what I want you to do is I want you to find maybe a special time, special place, maybe out under a tree or in your room, or just find some quiet place and just spend just a little bit of time talking to God and listening. Because God wants us to hear from him, because he talks to us all the time. And sometimes we just need to slow down, be still, and know God. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. And I thank you that you hear us, that you are waiting, that you are ready and listening to everything that we say. And so, Lord, as we go about our daily activities, whatever we're doing, Lord, let us just remember to praise you and thank you and just see you in the midst of our lives, Lord, and that you are working out all the details and all the mighty things in our lives, Lord. And we thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Carlene. We're going to worship through our giving now. As I said last week, we will not pass the plates here in the sanctuary. There's two plates over here. There's a plate at the altar table and two plates on this kneeling rail that you can bring your offering forward. I know many of you have chosen our online giving, and I know that sometimes you think, well, people think I'm not giving because I didn't go up there. It's okay. It's all right. God knows. It's all right. So just relax. And if you are at home, you can give through our app. You can give through our online at our webpage. You can also mail a check to the church. So we're going to pray that the Lord would bless these gifts if we pray. Father, we give because you give, because you have given. You are the ultimate giver. You have demonstrated your love for us through Jesus. And we are thankful for that. Father, we respond. I pray blessings on these gifts as we respond to your goodness. Bless these gifts that they may further your kingdom and bless the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, glory divine. Every salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Sing it out, here we go. Good day. This is my story.
Good morning, church. Good morning, online community. God bless you. Pray that you feel the presence of Christ in your homes this morning. If you want to go ahead and register your attendance, you can do that through the app. I want to remind you that the sermon notes are also in the app. And if you have a prayer request, there's a prayer request tab on the home screen of the app. So go ahead and submit a prayer request. We'd love to pray over those needs. So if you're registering your attendance, hold off just a second as we stand and affirm our faith together, and then you can continue. Or you can stand up and do whatever you want to do. But we're going to say the Apostles' Creed. If you want to go ahead and register your attendance, feel free to do that. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Our good brother, Franklin Graham, has asked that the churches intercede for our nation this morning. And I think that's probably a good thing to do. It's always a good thing to pray for our nation. You know, God's not a God of disorder. God's not a God of chaos. As Trevor mentioned this morning, he didn't say this, but he shared some stuff during our worship time that out of this book he read, that Satan is always on God's leash. He can never go any further than what God allows him to. I take comfort in that. God's in control. Here's some things that he asked that we focus on praying for this morning. He says we need to pray for peace. Doesn't our nation need peace? He uses the scripture in James 1:20, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Righteousness exalts a nation. Not anger, but righteousness. He asks us to pray for perspective because James 3:17 says, the wisdom from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, then it's gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. There's two types of wisdom. There's a fleshly wisdom and a wisdom that comes down from above. We need that wisdom that comes down from above. There's peace in that. There's gentleness in that. There's mercy in that. There's good fruits in that. Impartiality in that. And thirdly, he asks us to pray for patience because of God's, Romans 2:4 says, his kindness and forbearance and patience, it leads us to repentance. And that's towards every person that lives on the face of the planet. So this morning, let's lift up our nation. Not just the virus situation, but the, you can call it protesting, rioting, or whatever. I watched the life leave the young man of that life, and that, this young man, I watched life leave his body, and it made me sick to watch that. And we need God to move. So I want to encourage you, just spend a little time praying, and then I'll go ahead and close this. Praying for peace, perspective, and patience. So spend a little time praying, interceding to the Lord. Just think about Carlene's children's sermon that there's no sound in space, and Lord, even though this room is quiet, it's awful noisy in the spiritual realm. And I'm grateful that you're a God that is available. You love it when your people pray. And Lord, these prayers that we're offering right now, you're collecting them in bowls, and at some point in the future, these prayers are going to be poured out as a fragrant incense on the altar in heaven. So, Father, we just intercede on behalf of our nation. God, would you bring peace in the midst of the chaos? And Lord, you're doing a work, and we don't know what it is, and we haven't figured that out, but Father, just complete what you've started. Complete what you've started, God. But at the same time, we cry out for relief. We cry out for peace in our nation. Lord, I pray for protection for first responders, God. I just pray that a holy hush rests on communities, God, that are in chaos, that are in turmoil. Lord, just move in power. Lord, we pray for peace. And God, give us wisdom, Lord. Not earthly wisdom, not fleshly wisdom, not wisdom that man can offer, but godly wisdom. Help us, God, to extend mercy to those who need mercy. Help us to extend grace to those who need grace. Lord, and I just pray against racism, God. I believe that you hate it. And therefore, we should hate it as well. Forgive us for being partial. Forgive us for looking on people and thinking less of them because of their economic status, because of their skin color. God, forgive us. Thank you. I thank you that you're a God that offers kindness. And Lord, you're patient. You don't want anyone to perish, but you want all to come to the saving knowledge of who Christ is. So we thank you for your patience, God. Lord, I just pray for an outpouring of this wisdom for our leaders from the White House on down. Lord, I just pray against the bickering. God, I pray against the division. And even though Satan's on a leash, God, and we fully acknowledge that, God, I pray against his activity. What he's trying to do to disrupt, divide families and communities and states and nations. Father, the bottom line is we need you. And on this Pentecost Sunday, God, we cry out for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Just break our hearts for things that breaks your heart. Move in power for your glory. God, we desperately need you. Father, I thank you for our Savior who sits at your right hand. Always lives to make intercession for us. He taught us to pray this prayer: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Jesus, you.
Well, good morning again. Glad that you are spending your Sunday morning with us. Also for our live stream, glad that you are spending your Sunday morning with us. I'm looking around the room. I don't see anyone in their pajamas, which is a good sign. So, okay, come on. Y'all going to have to pick it up a little bit. It's like that level of laughter was like when I had the 8 people here. Yeah, it's really bad. If you are visiting with us this morning, we are especially glad that you're here. I'll be in the foyer at the end of the service and would love to meet you and get to know you. So I hope that you will come by and meet me, have a free gift for you as well. Turn with me to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Beginning in verse 7, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. And skip over to Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Right here in this place and in every home that's listening. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as a pastor, I do lots of weddings. Done lots of weddings. And one of the things that that always happens, there is a room for the bride to get ready. Anybody been part of that? The little dressing room, it's always the special room. It always has a restroom and it has a full length mirror and it's nice and cool. And the men, they put them in the janitor's closet. I'm just being real here. But there's this room where the bride is preparing herself, making herself ready to be presented to this groom. This July the 26th, 40 years will have passed since I was waiting at the end of the aisle for this beautiful bride that came to meet me. Go ahead and... if somebody wake Lee up back there. That's Dennis. Somebody wake Dennis up. Yeah, there he is, right there, 40 years ago. We're waiting. Our live feed ends in an hour and a half, so hey, hey-o. I know what you're thinking. I can read your minds. You're thinking, how did she land a catch like that? Isn't that, Robert, is that what you were thinking? Yeah, I knew you were. 18 and 19-year-old Jeff and Cheryl right there. Woohoo! Okay, that's good. That's good. I had to catch Cheryl really young when she was still somewhat naive and... Yes, yes. I'm not sure I want to hear what was just said. I'm continuing a sermon series today, In Search of Church, In Search of Church. And today's message is, the church is the bride of Christ. Last week, we learned that the church is not a building. we talk about being, we're coming back to church. It's like, no, we are the church. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we are the church. We also, Scripture refers to us as the church, as the bride of Christ. So let's unpack that a little bit. What does that mean? One of the things, I'm old, I understand, and I old-fashioned and so forth, but the way it used to be, it's not so much that way all the time anymore, but the way it used to be is you would have this courting that would go on, this dating that would go on, and eventually the man would ask the woman to marry and be his wife, and she would respond to that, and if she responded affirmatively, there was a courtship period there. There was an engagement period there, and then they came to the wedding. And again, she would make herself presentable and make herself beautiful for that moment when she presented herself to the bridegroom. It's not that way so much anymore, not all the time, but that's traditionally what's happened. And if you look at Scripture, God is telling us that's the way it is with His church. That there's this courtship. He's wooing us. He's in pursuit of us as His potential bride. And then He makes that invitation to us to be His bride, and we respond. And then then we become His bride. And there's this preparation, making ourselves ready for Him. So let's unpack that a little bit more. The bride of Christ, which is, raise your hand. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're the bride of Christ. Okay, that's who we're talking about. The bride of Christ embraces the sacrificial love of the bridegroom. The sacrificial love of the bridegroom. I tell couples this a lot when I speak to them, either in premarital counseling or marital counseling. I speak of Ephesians 5. If you've ever been in my premarital counseling time with me, you probably got sick of me talking about Ephesians 5. But here's what it says. Husbands is speaking to us, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, I tell husbands, it's like, okay, let's unpack that. How did Christ love his church, his bride? Well, he humbled himself. He gave up himself. He had the position of authority as the Son of God, but no, he humbled himself. He became flesh, and he presented himself for his bride. He gave himself sacrificially to his bride, ultimately to death itself. And there was this, that was his embracing of his bride. So husbands, love your wives like that. Love your wives like that. That's what it's telling me. And Scripture is saying that's how Christ has loved us. He has, as a bridegroom, he has humbled himself. He has become obedient. Let's read the rest of it. And gave himself up for her. He gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. It's because of the sacrifice of Christ that we are this beautiful bride. We have been washed as white as snow, and we are presented to our bridegroom, Christ, through the work of the cross. Through the work of the cross, we, the church, are presented as a pure bride on our wedding day. So we can't be the bride of Christ unless we understand that. Or shake your head if you're with me. We can't be the bride of Christ unless we understand that He is the sacrificial bridegroom that has given Himself up for us. Deuteronomy 7:9 says it this way: Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations to those who love Him and keep His commands. So He's this covenantal, this covenantal God. And that's what I tell people as we're doing premarital counseling. I talk about the vows. It's like, these are not conditional statements that you're going to say, you know what, I promise to love you if you love me back. No, there's this There's this covenant that we are making. It's what we are going to do in covenant. It's not conditional. I promise to love her as long as she loves me back. I promise to be faithful to her as long as she's faithful to me. I promise to adore her as long as she adores me. No, that's not what the vows are. Secondly, the bride of Christ makes herself beautiful for the bridegroom. And we talked a little bit about that and about the room that I always see with brides making herself beautiful. I've never done a wedding where that didn't happen. Even if it was a wedding, it was a quick wedding where, hey, there's only going to be four people here. There's still that time of preparation that the bride makes. Revelation that we just read out of 19 says, the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen means the righteous acts of the saints. So there's this preparation for us as the bride is our righteous acts are making us beautiful for our bridegroom. As I think through that, we're not good because it saves us. We're good. We do righteous things because we want to bring glory to our bridegroom. We want to make ourselves beautiful for him because it brings glory to him. Revelation 21 that we read, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out from heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And we just read that the way we make ourselves beautiful as a bride is through righteous acts. We make ourselves beautiful and presentable to our bridegroom. And thirdly, the bride of Christ remains faithful to the bridegroom. Remains faithful to the bridegroom. Again, going back to the wedding vows that we recited when we get married is, I will be faithful to you, forsaking all others as long as we both shall live. It's God has given us this model of what that's supposed to look like in his faithfulness to us. And he is asking the same of us as the bride. The Ten Commandments, the very first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. God is saying, I'm your bridegroom, you are my bride. I expect faithfulness from you. There is an expectation as he makes covenant with us that he wants us to remain faithful to him. How do we do that? How many of you know who Ravi Zacharias was? He passed away about 10 days ago. Did anybody watch the memorial service for Ravi? I think it was Friday. Cheryl and I watched it. Couple. If you don't know who Ravi Zacharias is, I encourage you to get on YouTube and just key in Ravi Zacharias, and you're going to have a whole bunch of videos. Cheryl and I were talking about this when we watched the memorial, and we both had very high respect for this man. And one of the things we talked about was he wasn't Jesus. I mean, he was a man, and I'm sure he had his own stuff, but I'll tell you something. He walked out his being the bride. He walked it out faithfully, and the memorial. One of the things, many stories that were shared during the memorial service about Ravi, his testimony. Just a quick version. He was, how old was he? 16. When he tried to take his life, 17. He drank poison, as I recall, and tried to end his life. And he was in the hospital. And a nurse gave his mom a Bible and said, read the Bible to him. And through that reading of God's word, he became a follower. And man, was he a follower. And he was a man of great faith. But one of the stories they told at the memorial service was one of the things he would do is he would go to college campuses, which, I mean, if some of you young people that are going to college campuses, man, parents pray, because I mean, it's not an easy place. It's not an easy place to exist. But he would go to these college campuses, and many of the people that would come to hear him were hostile. And he would ask, they would ask questions of him, and some of them were legitimate questions that, you know, why does God allow bad things to happen and those sort of things, and he would answer those things so eloquently. But many times it was people that were vicious, trying to basically curse him and curse God and just really, really throwing down on him. And one of the stories that was told at his service was he had such a question at one of his one of these events, and the guy was just hateful and was just saying hateful things, and really, you know, he just said his piece at the microphone and then just stormed out, and he's on his way out, and then this man said that Robbie ran to the edge of the stage and compassionately implored him to stay. Please come back. Please let me have an opportunity to address your question and to talk to you. I've never seen anybody that took the heat he took for the gospel and responded with such love and compassion and truth. I mean, this guy was brilliant. He's a brilliant apologist, but he always responded with love and compassion because he saw Jesus and these people that were being so vicious. That's part of remaining faithful to the bridegroom, walking out our walk. And I'm going to tell you, as I watched that memorial service, I was challenged. Personally, I was challenged to walk better, to walk better, to be a more beautiful bride. God, the bride of Christ, remains faithful to the bridegroom. He, you know, Jesus, when he was hanging on a cross, that was not a pleasant experience. He did it for his bride. He took nails for his bride, and he looked down on these people who had betrayed him and who had condemned him and falsely accused him, and he looked down upon them and he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And so that's the faithfulness of our bridegroom to his bride. Man, I don't know about you. I'm challenged by that. I'm challenged to be a beautiful bride for my bridegroom. If you don't know that Jesus, if you don't know that Jesus that took nails for you, I invite you this morning, and those even at home, I invite you to say yes, that he is wooing us, he is courting us, he is making the request of us to become his bride. I invite you to say yes this morning to that. And if you are already his bride, I challenge you, as I am challenged, to be a more beautiful bride. Let's pray. Father, we are, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm humbled that you would even be mindful of me. I'm humbled that certainly that you would court me, that you would want relationship with me, that you would die for me. That is a humbling thing. To understand that you have made covenant with me, that you have made had vows spoken to me, that you would be my God and that I would be your people. You are a faithful and merciful and loving bridegroom. I thank you for that. For those this morning that don't know you in that way, I invite you, your Holy Spirit, to move in their hearts. Just give them a glimpse of how you feel about them. I invite them to respond in courage and accept your invitation for relationship. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you will do. Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand if you are here, and if you would like to stand in your home as well, that's okay, as we close this song.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy.
I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Church, go and be beautiful. Go and be beautiful for him. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Bless the Lord.